Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Katrina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I am just so excited about the show tonight. I'm even more excited about the guests that I'm having. Well, you know, I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. We just thank you for another opportunity to just say thank you. We thank you for another opportunity just to give us another day, because every day that you grant us, we know that we can get closer or we can make it right. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for this holiday weekend. I ask that you continue to keep us safe for those who are tuning in live and those who are listening to it after the fact. I just thank you for the guest tonight. I want to thank you for the anointing that you have placed on his life. I want to thank you for the courage, the strength, the love, the peace that you just brought into his life. I ask you to watch over him and his family and everyone that's affiliated with him. And I thank you, Lord, for this, for those who this message is supposed to touch tonight. I thank you for, even if it's just one, Lord, that's all you ask, just one. Let it be a powerful one, because all it takes is one spark to start a fire. And as we go into this tonight, Lord, in session, I ask you, I submit Fuchina to you, Lord, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, that whatever weapons that may form, they will not prosper. And I thank you for the people that are designed to hear this message now or later on. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thank you so much. Good morning. Good evening, love. Thank you for tuning in. I thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for being patient. You all know I was having issues with my phone and my laptop, my iPhone and all that stuff, but I think I got it under control now. But I thank you all for being just very patient with me. If you know someone that can benefit from this program tonight, please share for those who you feel can benefit from this. I will say this. God has granted me wisdom. He's granted me favor. He's granted me blessings to come across people when I decided, or when he was like, okay, enough is enough. And when, hey, sir, how you doing? When he said, okay, enough is enough. I need you to work for me. And I said, I will help any and everybody that wants to be helped. Just place them in my way. Just surround me around people. Surround me around resources. Surround me, just cover me around people who are like-minded and ready to do your will. So tonight, as I met this gentleman, I met him I saw his podcast, and I was very interested in it, and it just drew me in. He is a powerful vessel for God, and I'm so excited for him to talk about his story and also it be an encouragement for those. So I'm not going to continue to talk. I'm just going to say I want to present to some and introduce to others Mr. Tony Peters. He is the director and co-founder of Cool Exportation. So thank you so much, Tony, for coming in on tonight. How are you this evening?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor. I'm glad that we could exchange shows because, it's exciting to share God's word.
That it is. So I'm going to ask three questions, and then we're going to go from there. So the first question is, who are you? The second question is, what do you do and why you love what you do?
Well, my name is Tony Peters. I am a father of two children, wonderful, blessed children that I love dearly. Right now I'm on disability, but normally I work as I work in telecommunications. So I set everybody up with all their phones and internet and all that kind of stuff. But more recently and more of a blessing is to be able to host a podcast for the Lord and share his word with anybody who we can reach. And like you say, as long as we can touch just one person, that is
yes.
that is all that we can ask for.
Yes, yes. And I got an opportunity, actually I've seen it twice. I got a chance to listen to your testimony. And when I hear about your testimony and I see the man that's standing here today, tonight, it was so profound. When I was I'm usually trying to make, you know, create a topic for the show to describe what we're going to be talking about. And I was listening to the song by Torrin Wells, because I love him, called Hills and Valley. And it made me think about you. It made me think about all the things that you've endured, and I'll let you get into that later, all the things that you endured, what you went through, the process you went through, and then the product that came out in the end. So I just want to touch base a little bit on what I was told, you know, what I heard, and then we're going to go from there. So listen to your testimony. You know, I always tell people, never judge a book by its cover, because you never know what a person is going through. You know, never judge. When I hear about the abuse, when I hear about your abuse, when I hear about the neglect, when I hear about rejection, when I hear about, you know, what you've gone through and then how God turned it around and now you're blessed with family, everything that you didn't think you could have, you now have, and a podcast on top of that to help others. So I want you to go into your valley moment.
You mean like the deepest part?
Well, just the general
consensus. Yeah, there's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely been some definite lows. Biggest one would have to be when I was molested for the first time as a child, and then a second time later on by another, well, I won't call him gentleman, but another individual. And those really shaped a lot of my life and the way I went through there. And at the time, I didn't see God in it. All I saw was shame and a bitterness really kind of developed in me and gave the devil a real foothold in terms of working into my life. But looking back now, I can see how God protected me and brought me through both those occasions and help my brain to really process those things and be able to move into a place of healing and shelter, because after going through those kind of things, you're really confused. You don't understand, especially since I was five the first time and I was like seven the second time. So you don't understand any of what's going on, of what has gone on. You just understand that nobody wants to talk about it. So that just kind of makes you more ashamed because no one wants to talk about it. And so it just makes it so it's like it's somehow your fault what happened, even though looking back, I know it isn't my fault. But it took a lot of years to come to that point and a lot of soul searching and a lot of time with God really teaching me to get to that point where I could actually see it that way and see it at the point where I'm at now, where I want to help people. I want to get the word out about it. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I am going to let God use it for his benefit, to further his kingdom.
As you know, you said something very interesting when you said that, you know, first, I think it was, you said five and then the age of six. That's such a young age. And it's like the developmental years. And mine happened when I was a little older. Well, no, I take that back, because mine started around five and then in kindergarten to third grade. And, let me ask you a question. During that moment, or that when you look at it now, during those moments, what did you, like, for instance, it affects everybody differently. How did it affect you?
For me, it got me into sexual sin a lot younger than what most people would even think is possible. I was very interested in sex after that. So I would masturbate already at the age of 5. Started into porn at a very young age as well. But I dealt with it by inflicting a lot of pain on myself. It was my way of releasing that tension. And I began wetting the bed again when I was at that age, much to my parents' frustration. And a lot of that it was attributed to that, now that I've gone to the counseling point and all that. But I dealt with it by just immersing myself in sexual sin and in pain. And I just thought I wasn't good enough for anybody. So why should I be around? Is what it ended up coming down to is you know, that's those suicide moments when you get older. It's it was always on my mind.
That is deep, because I could definitely understand. I started masturbating at a very early age myself, so I understand where you're going with that. And I understand about those urges that one gets when you're introduced to something at such a young age. I dealt with boundaries and issues because mine was a family member, so the person that was designed to protect me was the one that violated me. And did you ever tell anyone about that? What happened to you?
I told my parents pretty shortly afterwards, but it was back in the 90s, and there was a lot more stigma and shame around it. So they had kind of had a meeting with a social worker and the parents of the foster child who had molested me. He was a teenager, and we kind of had a meeting. The foster child was taken away. I never really saw him again, thankfully. And after that, you know, we just kind of lost contact with that family altogether. And my parents, we ended up moving away from that area, and it just never really got talked about. There was no counseling or anything that happened after it, which is what I really needed at that time. Would have been that counseling, but my parents were rightfully ashamed of what had happened, and they, I guess, they kind of must have felt like it was somehow their fault, because it was friends of theirs that we were over at their place. So, yeah, it was just something I think that they just felt a lot of shame about, and so that just carried forward.
Wow. You mentioned as you got older, you know, you got into sexual sin, you got into different things. At any point, did you feel maybe abandoned or rejected?
Oh, yeah. I felt totally alone. Like, nobody could understand it. Like, if anybody knew about what I was or what I did, that I wouldn't be welcome anywhere. I'd be rejected and cast aside, and that, I guess, was the devil working. That was the devil's work in my brain to convince me that, you know, it's my fault. There's something wrong with me, because that's what the devil does. The devil makes us feel alone and trapped, because at those moments, especially when we're younger, we're not necessarily turning to the Lord for answers and help in those times like we need to, which is where I turn now. But at that time, that's definitely not where I turned. I turned to self-loathing and hating and myself, and feeling like I wasn't adequate enough for anybody.
Wow. I can definitely understand that. I can definitely understand. What was your, my coping mechanism was, I was very defensive, and I had a very sharp tongue. So I will hurt your feelings before you hurt mine, because if it meant you not coming in my boundary area, within my boundaries, that's what I would do to keep people away. Did you have that?
Oh, I was definitely very sharp tongued. definitely. I also had that attitude of don't let anybody get close. Definitely that's a major part of it, is don't let anybody in. Don't let anybody touch me. I didn't develop close friendships because it's like, if I let someone in, they're just going to hurt me like the last person hurt me. And I wasn't going to let that happen to me again. So even today, friendships are a hard thing to develop. Because it's just, you don't want to let people in. You don't want to give people that chance to hurt you again. So, definitely.
I get it. Two of the things I was addicted to, that was pain and sex. Two things I was addicted to. And when I tell people, yes, you can be addicted to pain. And it was so bad that I would inflict pain on myself, because that was like a norm for me. If I felt that pain, that I knew that I was comfortable. And as I continue to move on, I'm in a book club, and one of the books we read is by Rainey Howard called Addicted to Pain. And it talks about how we use pain as a coping mechanism. And I know for me it was, because I didn't feel I was worthy. I didn't feel, I didn't feel pretty. I didn't feel any of those things. And I just felt like whatever they said about me, it was real. When in fact, it's not. But it was real for me. And for me, my protective state was sex and pain. And so for me, I knew that neither one at that time, because I wasn't married, wasn't good for me, but it was faithful. And I knew I could always depend on it when everybody else rejected me or abandoned me in some kind of way.
Yeah.
And, so I get what you're saying. I totally can relate to it, coming from the other end of it. I just want to commend you because, one, to actually come out and share your story, that doesn't make the devil happy, and that's good, because we don't want him happy anyway. So the fact that you're coming out and sharing that, I commend you for that, because not many people, I would say, have the nerve yet to do it, and I commend you for doing that. And I just want to say, for those who are out there, you're not by yourself. There are people out there going through the same thing you may be going, that Tony has gone through, that I have gone through, and let you know that you are not alone. There are people here who have gone through, and we're testimonies to show that if God brought us through, if he brought Tony through, he definitely going to bring you through, because it's only through his faith, and that's what I'm hearing. So I want to ask that question. How did your faith get you through it?
Well, early on, I already had a good Sunday school background and church upbringing, so I understood the word, but I didn't really truly at that point. Later on, as I got to be a teenager and I got baptized, that was a little bit more when things started to sink in. And I started to turn a lot more to the word, which the devil does not like. And the devil definitely came after me hard at that point, and I definitely fell away again. And in those falling away moments, that's when you feel the most alone. The devil attacks you the hardest, making you feel like you are trapped. And later on, as I got married and I went to Bible school, that's when the Lord really started to work on me and show me that even in all these dark times, he was there. He brought me through. He gave me that shelter and gave me writing as another release, for a healthy release for what I was going through, rather than the unhealthy releases that I had developed. And I can look back now and see that was a gift from God. That was God giving me something that was a tool that would bring me closer to Him, and a tool that would help me to turn to Him and follow Him. And now prayer is definitely a huge, huge part of getting me through different situations. It's just knowing that I can turn to the Lord in prayer. I can ask for Him for help. I can ask Him for strength, because on my own, I know I can't do it. I've tried and I've failed. I need the Lord, and I need His holy word and His blessings to carry me through. And I can see that He gave me a wonderful family and a very understanding wife who has also helped me get through many of these situations, and she's helped me to understand it and given me the courage to go out and get help and counseling, which I so desperately needed back then, but was not able to get. And now I can see, you know, God, He brought me through that. He got me through it. He carried me through it. It was His love that got me through. And people can look at it and be like, well, He let that happen. It's like, well, bad things happen all the time. That doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't like you or that the Lord is saying you're not worthy. It's bad things happen, and God gets you through those times. And that's the view that we need to take. That's how we need to look at it, is God was there. He's there to get us through our lowest of lows and carry us into our highest of highs.
That's powerful. That's truly powerful. I know that you mentioned, you know, what happened when you were a kid, and I know that as a result of it, you struggled with relationships and trusting, trust issues, definitely understood. Tell me, you said you have a wife and family, which I think that is awesome. That means you met someone and you had to trust. Tell me about that, because you went through a period where you didn't trust anyone.
Yeah, I think the only way that she was able to get into my heart is because I'd known her since grade three. We'd never really connected before that, and then high school came, and we started getting all the same classes together. Or whenever we had spares in class, it was always I always ended up with the same ones that she did, which was the Lord, of course, working His magic as He knows best. And my stepmom, she ended up working with my wife, and so she kept pushing me into a relationship with my wife, saying, you know, she's a really nice girl, she's a great girl, you know, she'd be great for you. And I had already been kind of thinking it, but I was like, but I don't want to let anybody that close. And then grade 12 hit, and my parents moved down to Frontier, which was an hour and a half away. So I ended up living on my own because I refused to move halfway through my grade 12 year. And so at that time, I started thinking, you know, what's going to happen after I get out of school? I'll probably never see this woman again. I really need to just that leap and take a chance. And I did. And I was blessed when she actually said yes when I asked her to go out with me. And that wasn't easy. Dating someone was really hard. I had to actually let my guard down. But we set boundaries, and, you know, touching wasn't really a part of our relationship. There wasn't any of the relationship stuff that happened in a lot of people's normal relationships at that age. But through that, we ended up being stronger because we took it slow. And as a result, we grew closer together to the point where I was willing to let someone in that I had never dreamed I would actually let someone get that close to me again. So that was important. And again, that was all God at work. He knew what he was doing right from the get-go when he introduced us in grade three. He knew what he was doing. And it's just now we have to trust God and just let him do his thing, because even when we don't feel like we're ready to let someone in, God knows who that person should be, and he'll help us through, whether it's through an actual relationship that ends up in marriage or whether it's just through a friendship. He's going to bring someone in who needs to be there, and we just need to be willing when God pulls those strings.
Awesome. I commend you for taking the step, because I know that's a very bold step and a very scary step at times. So at what point, because I'm sure you shared what happened to you with her, did mm-hmm. what was that process like? Because now you met someone special, you don't want to let her go, but, you know, you're still dealing with what you're dealing with. Now you're bringing somebody into your world. How did that happen? Do you understand the question I'm asking?
Yeah. That process was definitely a long one. It took me a long time to admit to her that I looked at pornography and that I was into that kind of thing at that age. Because there's so much shame around it. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with someone, potentially, then they need to know that about me and be prepared for it. And bless her soul, she took it very, very well and was very understanding. And then as we went through our relationship and we eventually got married, it still took a little bit before I actually really opened up about what had happened in my past.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in youth care work at the time, so I was studying to help other people get through exactly what I'd gone through. And because I really did feel like I was meant to help people, but one of my teachers had told me that, you know, before you can help other people with their crap, you have to get your own crap together. And I definitely did not have my crap together. I hadn't dealt with it. I'd ignored it. And she was right. I'd worked in the industry only about a year before I came to the point where I was just like, nah, I can't do this. It's not fair to the kids I'm supposed to be helping. I can't help them. And I was having more and more nightmares and flashbacks about what had happened. And through that, I ended up talking to my wife and telling her, because she was wondering what was going on. What was going on in my head that I was the way I was. And so I eventually opened up to her little bit by little bit. Certainly was not all at once. She was amazingly patient in trying to help me through that and trying to understand without having gone through it herself. Because you can't truly understand it unless you've been through it.
Exactly.
But she tried, and she was my rock the entire time. And she really helped me to realize that, you know, not everybody was like that. I could let people in. I could let someone in anyway. And I could trust her, even if I couldn't trust other people. I could trust her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, again, God knowing I needed that. And it always comes back to God, because without his providence and his will, I never would have gotten to that point. I never would have had that support person in my life. I never would have known the love that I know now, and the blessing that comes from that. So God definitely is more amazing than you can even put into words.
Yes, it's grace and mercy. A beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. My name is Bettina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I am blessed by having a very special guest tonight, Mr. Tony Peters from Cool Exportation. I hope I said that right.
Exportation, yes.
And such a powerful testimony. And a topic tonight is you were there. You were here the whole time. And we're talking about those valley and to mountaintop experiences. And he shared with us that he was sexually violated twice in his life and how it affected him, you know, emotionally, mentally, socially. And now we're talking about the process of him going through it and how he met God sent him someone along the way that he could actually trust, because I could definitely understand that. I think I was 18 when I finally opened up, or I was able, I trusted someone where I could share that with. And it was like an elephant off my chest. So I could definitely understand, and I commend him, because as a result of it, as a result of going through the valleys, you know, God sent him someone that he could trust. And it came, you know, it came with a process. And now that's what we're talking about now. Now that we've been through the valley, we're talking about the process. Now we're going to talk about the mountaintop, you know, getting to that mountaintop. And a part of that is he was blessed with his wife, who was very patient with him, and actually became his rock. Throughout this process to help develop the man that he has become. Also, he has children as a result of it. So I say all that to encourage someone that regardless of stuff, the things that you go through, God is still there. I know it don't seem like it, and sometimes you don't feel like you could feel him or anything, but he is still there. And I say this all the time. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And during that, you got to trust the process. And that's what Tony has gone through, the process. That's what maybe you're going through. I know I go through it. I'm still going through the process. But out of the process comes so many blessings, because before God says a breakthrough, there's a storm that you got to go through first before you get to the breakthrough. And Tony was just mentioning some of the concerns and issues that he had with trust, you know, boundaries, finding defense or coping mechanism to get him to this point. So with that being said, Tony, you know, I commend you. You know, like I said, I'm just so blown away by your testimony and the fact that you're sharing it, because it will help someone, and I know this for a fact. What I want to ask you is, for someone who may be going through, what nuggets of wisdom would you give them?
Never give up hope. Always know that, you know, God is there. Even when you maybe don't sense him, he's there to get you through these things. You just have to turn to him. You just have to trust him and God for wisdom on how to get through what you're going through, because only God can really get you through those situations. Suicide is never the answer. I know I felt like it was many times. I had tried and failed to commit suicide, and you know, I can only say God brought me to my knees, and he showed me that even in my lowest moment, he was there and he loved me. My lowest moment came when I was 17, and I just moved back in with my parents after being out on my own, and I got to the point where I was on my knees. I had written a note. I was going to kill myself. I had a knife that I sharpened. It was going to use to kill myself. As I was on my knees, I felt a great pressure on my wrists. on both wrists, a pressure that I fought because it wouldn't let go. And that went on until my hands grew numb, they grew weak, and I just collapsed and as the knife dropped. And when I collapsed, a voice spoke into my head and said, "What are you doing? I love you." And that was the moment where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, God does love me. Even when I feel like no one else does, God was there and he loved me. And it was at that moment that I went and turned my life over to God again, recommitted my life to him, and I went off to Bible school. So that would be one piece of wisdom, is just turn to God and let him get you through these things. Don't let it get to the point where you're feeling like suicide's the only answer, because that won't get you anywhere. It's just going to make people around you miserable, because there are people who love you, even if you don't feel like there are people around you who love you, and committing suicide would just tear them apart. And just because you're in pain doesn't mean someone else should be.
That's powerful. Just because you're in pain doesn't mean someone else should be. I like that. You had a scripture, is one of my favorite ones, Philippians. I think it's 4 chapter 12 through 13, minus 4 and 13.
Yeah.
I love it. I love, that's one of my favorites. One of the ones me and my son says every morning. And when you opened up with that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so appropriate, especially for everything you've gone through. So no matter what's going on with you at that time, whether you're in your valley moments, going through your process and up to your mountaintop, God is always there. You may not feel him, you might see him, but he's always there. And this is a perfect example of when you try to commit suicide. It sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that attempt that you made was the final attempt before God came and said, hey, I got work for you to do. I love you. And that's when you went to Bible. Was that the last one that you did or attempted?
That was the last one that I was serious about. I mean, there's still been moments where I get really, really stressed. And, you know, you just think that, you know, the only way out is through death. But then I think of my family and that gift that God gave me and what it would do to them if I was to do that. And that just stops it right in my tracks, because it's like I'm not going to do that to my family. I'm not going to put my children through that. I'm not going to put my wife through that. And again, that's God at work, God being like, I know what you need. Here it is. Here's the tool to keep you strong, to keep you going. And I can't give any other credit other than to God for that.
That's enough. That is truly enough. Let me ask you this. What advice would you give someone that trying to get close to someone and you find out that they've gone through some type of sexual abuse from a male perspective? What would you suggest? Because you have people out there that's going through that kind of stuff. You know, what wisdom or nugget of wisdom could you provide for females that are dealing with someone that have made it known? Any suggestions?
Yeah, just take it slow. Be understanding, be a listening ear. Don't try and push it too much. If you try and push, it's just going to close that door. It takes a lot for someone, especially a man, to open up about these things. And I say especially a man because we're in a culture where men are supposed to be these like tough, macho people, which is not what a man is supposed to be like at all. That's not the biblical man. Jesus wasn't a tough, macho kind of man. So that's who we should be taking our example from, not what society shoves down our throat. But just take it slow and just let them open up at their own pace, because it's going to be a process. But do encourage them to go and do get counseling. And I do advise getting both regular counseling and Christian counseling, just because they both tackle it from two different views and two different ways. So a regular counselor is going to give you that coping mechanisms. They don't... Mm-hmm. I don't find counselors to bring true healing, regular counselors anyway. I find that they just give you Band-Aids. And those Band-Aids help. Like, it's good to have coping mechanisms. And then you go to encourage them to go to a Christian counselor, because a Christian counselor is going to give them that biblical healing, that healing mm-hmm. that shows them just how much God is there for them. And knowing that is going to be important, is realizing that through everything, God's there, and you want to help them to see that, you know, you went through this, but God was there. If you try and rush that, it's not going to happen. They're just going to close that door. They're going to regret letting you in. So interventions are definitely not the way to go about it. If anyone's thinking of an intervention, because that's just going to make them closed off, and it's going to make them regret trusting, and it'll be harder for them in the future to trust anybody. So just take it slow, let them go at their own pace, let God do the work. Just be willing to be a tool to be used by God, but know that you aren't the one with the answers. God is the one with the answers.
I like that. Thank you. Coming from a male perspective is definitely different than coming from that female perspective. But I know as women, we're nurturers, and we automatically think, well, we can help him. We can do this. When, you said a very good mouthful, because we're such a nurturer and we're mothers, and we just feel like we could just help, when in essence, you could be smothering. And I get it, pushing them back, and it makes a whole lot of sense. So I thank you for sharing that. I know you've mentioned it before, but, you know, I'm talking about people who are, you know, going through and stuff right now when they doubt God. They doubt him.
Mm-hmm.
What advice or what nuggets can you provide for someone?
If they're doubting God, we all doubt. You're not alone in that. That's all part of going through the Christian walk, is those moments of doubt. It's how we deal with those moments of doubt that really defines who we are and what we are. So if you're doubting God and wondering, you know, how could a loving God let this happen? The answer is we sinned. That's what it comes down to. Satan's been given this world, and he's doing with it what he pleases, but there will come a day where Satan will get his reckoning, and we will get to know that God truly has that power. He will walk Satan away for 1,000 years, and then he will walk him away permanently after that. And if we hadn't sinned, then we wouldn't have the choice. Like, if we hadn't been given that opportunity to sin, we wouldn't have the choice of following Jesus. So always know that the love was there because we were given a choice. We weren't just told we had to follow God. It was, you can choose to follow me, or you can choose to follow Satan. And by choosing God, we can find that love. So if we're doubting God, we just have to turn to his word, turn to people who are strong in the community, the Christian community. Turn to them and talk to them about your doubts. Share with them. If you're comfortable with your pastor, share it with him. Let your pastor help you work through those situations and those moments of doubt, and they'll give you biblical places to look to help you with your doubt, because they understand. It's, if anybody ever says they've never doubted God, then they're lying, because everybody has those moments where they've doubted, where they've needed to be reassured, and God will provide that reassurance. Turning to him in prayer is a huge, huge key component. Give God the opportunity to talk to you, not just ask him for things, but truly ask God to give you that open mind and open ear to listen and hear him, because he'll get you through it. And even when you're doubting, God's still there. He doesn't doubt us. He knows how our life is going to turn out. He knows it all. So he'll be there for us. He'll get us through.
Yes, he does. Philippians 4:13. Of course I went blank because I want to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yep. Yep. That is the verse. And it's a verse that was given to me when I was baptized. And it's a verse that's always just stuck with me and helped me get through my dark times.
Yes. My son and I say it every morning. It's one of the scriptures that we say. And it truly is, I can do all things, not some things, not a little bit of things, but all things through Christ who strengthens me. Tony is a perfect example of this, a living example of this scripture. For those who are just tuning in, of course, this is Bettina Kirkendall, and you're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I have to pause for a second and just give a shout-out, and I'll say shout-out, but acknowledge my sponsors, Passions Mortuary and Cremation Services, 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia. The owner is Mr. Henry Middleton, and I just want to say thank you for sponsoring us. I'm really appreciative when people come to me and they enjoy what we do and they enjoy how it affects people and they want to be on board. And so I'm grateful for Mr. Henry Middleton for seeing the vision and wanting to support it. With that being said, I have Mr. Tony Peters from Cool Exportation. I hope I said it right. I don't know why I keep messing up in that. exportation. And if why don't you tell them about as a result of coming to the mountaintop, now you're in ministry and now you have your podcast. I would love for you to share that.
Well, with the Cool Explorations podcast, that just kind of came about through a lot of God discussion, which was more God talking and me listening. And me learning to be willing to listen. And God showing me that he can use what I've been through to reach other people, to help other people, and show them that, you know, they aren't alone. And that no matter what we go through, God is there. And that's the message that we try and share, is messages of hope, messages of encouragement. And we try and give spotlight to people who are Christian and their business or something that they're doing, whether it's being a pastor or a musician or an artist or another podcaster, giving them focus so they can continue to do God's work and helping to be that seed that mustard seed that gets planted, so the Holy Spirit can go to work, not taking credit for any of it, because everything is for the glory of God, and that needs to shine through in everything that we do and every moment. And so through the interviews as well as devotions, we provide a biblical foundation. And I used to do a lot of podcasting of political stuff. That was what I podcasted, was doing political interviews with all kinds of politicians, countrywide, province-wide, which is our equivalent to your state. And God just kind of showing me that's not what he wanted from me. He wanted me to work for him, and he took over my channel. And when he took over my channel, I'd like to say things got easier, but they sure didn't. It brought a lot of healing to me, physically and mentally, because I dealt with a lot of seizures. I was only walking with a cane up until a few months ago. I was only talking through half my face. And through his testimonies, God brought healing to me. And if he can do that with me, then he can do that for other people through what I'm doing.
Definitely.
So
most
that's kind of how that all came about.
Ow, you are truly a testimony. Truly a testimony. So when can people tune in? When and where and how can they tune in to the podcast?
I don't post at regular times. I kind of go by everybody else's schedules to work in, work people in. So you can find it on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. Those are the big ones. And then if you prefer video, there's YouTube, BitChute, Rumble. Again, Spotify and Instagram. Instagram's another huge one. I had someone from China who messaged me the other day saying that they tuned in. So that was... it's just amazing where God all brings reach. It's now,
yes.
I'm on three radio stations in 160 countries, and my podcast itself is in 37 countries. So definitely God can use you no matter how small you think you are. You just let God do his work, and he'll work the magic.
Exactly. Now, you have a YouTube, correct?
Yeah, YouTube is Cool Explorations as well. Yeah, it all goes under the same name. Keep it simple for everybody.
Yeah, Cool Explorations. So, like I mentioned, I'm here with Tony Peters with Cool Exploration. Exploration. Thank you. Exploration. Okay, I said it three times. Cool Explorations. So, and he comes, you can... check him out on Instagram. You can check him out on Facebook as well, correct? And also,
yes, Facebook page.
Yeah. And also Twitter. Are you on Twitter as well? Or are you on the Tony? Okay. Oh, cool as well. So you have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So you have four avenues where you can check out Mr. Tony Peters. When I tell you, it's a phenomenal, the stories and testimonies that you come across is phenomenal. I've had the privilege and the pleasure to be on the show. Awesome opportunity, awesome time. So when you get a chance, check out Cool Explorations. Got it. Cool Exploration. His name is Tony Peters. Check him out when you can. A phenomenal man of God with a powerful, powerful, powerful testimony that you should check out. Like I said, you will not be disappointed. Tony, I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule for coming and sharing time on our platform, Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I am so looking to see what the future holds. I'm very, very excited. I believe in the power of network, and I believe that nothing happens for for no reason. I believe there's a reason for everything. And before we leave, I just want to mention for us, because I have some people that's coming in late, you know, what nuggets of wisdom would you give to someone before we tune out of here?
Just keep the faith, trust God, let people in to help you, because God brings people into your life to help you along and to get you through your toughest times. So let those people help you. God's brought them into your life for a reason. And never doubt that God loves you, because God does love you.
Yeah, that he does. From being in the valley, of going through the process, and the mountaintop experience. So I just want to thank you again for coming on, you know, because you have taken away time from your family, and I appreciate that. So I thank you for that. And those who are tuning in, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for your comments. Just thank you for all. If you have any questions, if you need to reach out to Tony, you're more than welcome to reach out to me on Crossroads of a Favorite Woman, or you can reach out to me on my personal Facebook account, Futina Kirkendall. So with that being said, this month is the month of July. We have other exciting opportunities coming up, and I'm so excited because we're coming up to our We're coming up to our third year, we're ending our third year and going into our fourth year anniversary for Chronicles. I would not be here without you all. The rest of this month, I'm so looking forward to it, because the rest of the month is nothing but ladies. I take that back. I got one more. Next weekend will be Clyde Cobb, and then the rest of the month will be ladies. And then we're going to go into celebrating our anniversary month for Chronicles, and we're going to be doing that a little different, but I'm excited about it. I'm not going to say anything yet because I'm still making some confirmations, but just know this, be in for a treat. Just be in for a treat, so you just never know. With that being said, I'm just going to thank Tony for coming in here again and share your powerful, powerful, powerful testimony. And with that being said, please know that I love you, but God loves you more, and I will see you next Sunday. Good night.